Pastor David and Retta have just been a great encouragement to us. We feel a great affinity with them as a couple, and by extension to all of you who are here. And so as we go out to start serving in that community and also even reaching out to other people here, we have a burden for everybody. You know, when you preach the gospel, you reach every creature. Amen? So keep us in your thoughts and our prayers, and they will be updating you. And thankfully, God is continuing to opening those doors for us. So we had just appreciated that Pastor David was willing to let you know that we'll be wrapping up at the end of this year so that we can begin that work in January. And we really appreciate that prayer. Lastly, before I preach, I know this may look a little repetitive, but as a congregation, Pastor David and Retta, I know this may be a little surprise to you. I am saying this as a part of this body. We also want you to know that we love you very much, and we appreciate the work you put to prepare the word, to work here in the building, to see people, to even go an extra mile. You know, like last Sunday, we were blessed, those of us who are privileged to be in Pastor David's and Retta's house. We really enjoyed that Christmas dinner. And so the congregation and a few men got together, and I would like to call my brother Leif. I was making sure, did I say it correctly? Yeah, you know, that's not a very common name in Kenya, just in case I mess up with it. So brother Leif is going to say something here, and I'll call you. Retta and David, come, it's my turn. You call me now, it's my turn to call you. Yeah, you want to say something? And then this is on behalf of all of us. No, you have another mic there? No, I think, yeah, and then if you have your Bible with you, be opening the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is going to be, but let's hold on to that and let our brother speak on our behalf.
Good morning. We just didn't want Christmas to pass without an opportunity to honor our pastors, and so as a congregation, we got together and we wanted to offer you a gift. Yeah. And I want to share it with a scripture in just a few words. Yeah. In Mark chapter 10, it says, "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." I think sometimes we forget that any brother or sister in Christ, no matter their role or their status, is someone who is said yes many times. And the Curls have said yes to the Lord many times. And we thank God that one of those yeses was to come here to this church. And so we honor the yeses that you've said in your life. We see that in the fruit of your family. We see that as your neighbors, the way you welcome and give without any expectation of return. And so as a church family, we love you and we honor you, and we just want to say Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. Let's say a special, let's say a prayer. Let's pray for them as they sit down. Let's just say a prayer. Brother Leif, you can come here, and the church, you can extend your hands as we bless Pastor David and Retta. Father, we are so humbled to be a part of such a unique family of believers. And we thank you for the calling in the life of your servant, Pastor David and Retta. And on behalf of this congregation, we just want to affirm them. We want to thank you so much for them, as my brother said, for responding and saying yes to the calling of God. We also want to thank you for the courage you have given them, even when it's been dark and maybe unclear and not sure what to do. And today we pray that just this little act of refreshment will renew their hope and stir their love in a greater way. We thank you so much for their children, those who are here and those who are in Seattle. and anywhere else, we just ask your blessing even upon their entire family and pray a blessing upon the work of their hands and the ministry you have called them to do. We thank you for being partakers of this love in the name of God the Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy that gift. Maybe go to Houston for a concert. I don't know whether that's what Pastor David wants, but we thank you so much. You guys are great. We love you. Well, we are going to unwrap the gift of love. And I want to thank God that today that theme has been flowing. It was flowing as the candles were lit this morning. It was flowing in the expression of love to my family. It has been flowing even as we have blessed our brother, Pastor David. And there are so many ways when Pastor David asked me to share on love, I want to say that at some point it was a very overwhelming topic. It's one of those topics you really don't know where to start. Because love is big. It's a big word, man. It's just like a dynamite. You really don't know how to crack that code and come up with something. But we're just going to dive into the book of Ruth. And in this book of Ruth, it's an amazing story. I don't have the scriptures on the board, the book of Ruth is not a big book. It's only four chapters. So you either open it on your phone or open it on your Bible. I'm still an old school guy. I love to bring my Bible to church, and I love it when I see people with Bibles. And nothing against the phone, but I feel like the Bible in the Word is kind of pure, you know, because the phone, you can also open some other things there. So it's always good to have the Bible. But when we talk about love at Christmas, or the power of love, or the love in action, this word is small but powerful, as we have been reminded today. It's a four-letter word. And actually in English grammar, I know I don't sound like one, but at one time in my life, I trained as an English teacher. In Kenya, we have what we call the British English. So even when I meet people in America and they say I have a little accent, I say, yes, that's a British accent. You know, some things the British don't say is things like, what's up, dude? That's American. So love is a very powerful word. Actually, love, you can get it in all the grammatical nuances. You can see love as an adverb. You can see love as a noun. And you can also see love as a verb, as an action. And that's what we're going to focus more. Love as an action, whereby we love on each other. You know, God loved us so much that he gave us his son. And that's the essence of Christmas. And as we seek to understand this topic of love, we're going to go to the book of Ruth. And this is a short book in the Old Testament. And it is put in between a very critical season of Israel. The book of Judges, which just comes before it, was a very chaotic season in that time. Things were bad. Actually, the book of Ruth starts with chaos. It starts with people running away because of famine, because things were bad. It's not like one of those highlights of something that maybe would make a big movie of action and success. It's a story that begins with sadness and sorrow and hunger and confusion. And actually, just within the first few verses, death. You know, people, things just were like going from worst to worst. But an amazing thing I find about this book is how love is unwrapped in that book. And I just felt so bound by that love, not just because of these two women. And as I may have mentioned to some of you, I'm a product of two women. My own mother, who was widowed for the most part of my life with her, when she couldn't bring me up because she had to go and work in the city, left me in the hands of my grandmother. And my grandmother was one of the first people to teach me the gospel. You know, put us under a little tree and start telling us about the things of God. And I feel very grateful. When I read this story, it just reminds me like those two women, my mother and my grandmother. And it was a cool thing for us to understand. And so when these two women, when they were left, they were widowed. Naomi's husband died. Elimelech, and then the husband of Ruth and Orpah died. And what happened in the book, when we read that book, these people had taken wives. The sons of Ruth had taken wives there. And so just to jump into our first point there, which is going to be an important part, is that before I bring the first thing here,
is that they were to go back to Bethlehem after the husbands had died in Moab. And so it was clear. Ruth just not confronted them, but just talked to these two ladies. And so if you come to the first thing I would like to say, true love is a choice. That's the one thing I would like us to start with there. And I share this for you as a dad or as a mom. I share this to you as a husband or a wife. I share to you as a brother or a sister in the Lord, that when you or even as a child, because it's not just parents who are supposed to love their children, even children should love their parents as well. You have to make a choice to love somebody. It's something that you, it has to be intentional. It has to come from a place in your heart. And so we see when Ruth is asking this woman to leave, there's this scripture that has been repeated so many times. I've actually had it mentioned. I've even preached about it in weddings. I've done a few weddings and I've had that scripture mentioned in the book of Ruth chapter, maybe from verse 14. The scripture says that when they lifted their voices, wept again and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me also, if anything but death parts you and me. I just love that great declaration by this young lady. And I would like us to see that it was a very difficult time for her. And it was also not an easy thing. But one thing I love about Ruth is that she actually made a choice that she's going to stick with Naomi. I would like to remind all of us actually also that Jesus really loves you. I know we've been told this statement a lot. And Jesus loves you. Yeah. So, but actually, when you read the Bible, you find that the love of Jesus for us is pretty deep. In John chapter 13, so that we can get the point there to see that true love is a choice. In John chapter 13, the Bible tells us there about how Jesus was with his disciples. And now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that this hour had come and he should depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. That is in John 13 verse 1. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. That is one place where we see love displayed. We also see another place where love is displayed in the story of Jonathan and David. That actually David and Jonathan loved each other so much that their hearts and their souls were knit together. We read that, I think it's in 1 Samuel 17, whereby they were so connected to each other that their souls were knit to each other. And I would like us to be reminded, I say this to you as a minister of the gospel, that you need to make a choice, even for those of us who are married. It's always good. You know, I remember there was one marriage conference where this lady asked a question, told the marriage counselor that, you know, my husband rarely tells me anything affirming. And then the man was being asked, hey, come on, Jimmy, what's wrong, man? You don't talk to your wife some good stuff. He said, well, I told her I love her. If I ever change my mind, I'm going to let her know. You know, so it was like he was pulling teeth with this counselor. But, you know, I want to encourage us, even especially for us who are married. I want to share love in all angles today. It's always a sweet thing to tell your wife or your husband, I love you. Those words mean a lot. And I didn't grow up hearing that a lot myself. But it took some discipline for me to learn to say that. So don't give that as an excuse. Just because you never had it doesn't mean you can't say it. You're not going to get sick by saying I love you. Amen? The second thing I would like us to see, we're just moving through these points because it's a Christmas time, and I know some of you may be getting ready for some good events this afternoon. The second thing is that true love expects nothing in return. True love expects nothing in return. If you read, actually, normally we start a scripture by going further, but if we go back a little bit, in verse 14, when they lifted their voices and wept again, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. Return after your sister-in-law. Now, I want you to, one of the troubles we have in this day and age, many people relate with others based on what they expect to get from them. Unfortunately, those are called transactional relationships. Transactional relationship is like a transaction. You know, you give me and I give you. It's a give and take kind of relationship. And that is unfortunately very common. One of the things that I really don't understand even today is why would people have to do prenuptial stuff before they get married? It doesn't make sense. If you don't trust that person, why are you making deals that in case this happens, you know, that still doesn't blend with my way of thinking about love and people who are supposed to be together. But I want you to see, for Ruth, she was not expecting anything in return. Actually, if you look at this relationship, even the mother-in-law had told them. Mother-in-law, Naomi, if you read the previous verses, she had narrated and told them, listen, guys, even if you are to wait for me to get a husband tonight and I get children, are you going to wait for them until they grow so that they can marry you? I mean, Naomi was telling them, I am not good, I'm kind of good for nothing for you ladies. And I think, look at Orpah. If you look at Orpah in verse number 14 there, because in verse 11 the Bible says, turn back my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husband? Turn back, daughters, and go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I could say I have hope and I have a husband tonight and should bear sons, would you wait for them until they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having a husband? No, my daughters. It grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So they lifted their voices, and Ruth kissed her mother. I mean, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, Naomi, and maybe she wept and cried a little bit. And she did the math and says, this lady is damn right, man. I'm hitting the road. And she went back to Wall Street or whatever that was. She just went back away, you know. But Ruth was not expecting anything in return. I love that kind of love. Love that does not expect anything. You know what the Bible says? Owe no one anything except the debt to love one another. There is one debt we have as believers. And by the way, you know what the Bible calls that debt? It is the continuing debt. You never pay it. So you're stuck with loving me until the Lord comes back or until he calls you home. Yeah, because it's a debt you owe me, and that debt is continuing. Can you imagine? And that's a good debt. So that is something that we just find amazing about these two people, that they love without expecting anything in return. That is how Ruth was. And I just feel so humbled, and I wish that God will give more true love in our lives, in our communities, in our families, in our place of work, whereby we love each other without expecting anything in return. That's always humbling. It humbles me a lot that Ruth just went to Naomi without expecting anything in return. And then, the second thing I would like us to see is that true love is loyal. True love is loyal. When you love me, you are going to be loyal. When I love you, I'm going to be loyal. And in this one, we see it, hold on a second. In verse 19, it says that now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And by the way, the distance, it was not a short journey. It was a long trip. It was a long trip. And by the way, they were not taking buses. They were not taking Uber. They were walking through the desert. And I don't even know. And you're talking of this. It's an old widowed woman. She's widowed. She has lost her children. So it was not like they were having a good time taking an exit and going to McDonald's and buying something or using a rest area. It was not that kind of trip that you make, you know. These people were walking through the desert, the two ladies. And maybe, allow me to go into a little bit of imagination, maybe they even had nothing for their package. They didn't even have a lot of stuff to carry, you know, because they were bereaved. They were left with nothing. And according to the Hebrew culture, when a woman, and I say this respectfully because I know, you know, we could have a widow in our midst. I told you I have experience. Both of the two women, my mother and my grandmother, were widows. Widowhood in that culture was even very serious because when somebody was a widow, they were of no significance. The culture did not regard them of any importance. That's why, like when you read later on in the book of Luke, when Jesus meets a widow and her only son was dead, the Bible says his heart went to her because he understood the loss of that woman. You know, my mother was a widow, but she had us, you know. And I know even, you know, I know there are people who are widowed, but thankfully you may have. Naomi was a widow and she was childless. You're talking of a hopeless situation where we read hope that there is no hope at all. That is how it was. But look at Ruth. She was loyal. And that is something I pray that God will help us. I feel very grateful for the loyalty of my dear wife. And I say this to her because it's been a very unique journey for us. You know, sometimes things have been pretty hard. You know, we have, you know, like when she married me, we actually got married and went to seminary. You know, you get married and get a job and go live in a house somewhere. Actually, at one time, one of my relatives asked me, are you crazy? Are you marrying a girl and taking her to school? But she was willing to follow. And I thank God for her. Amen? Yeah, because of loyalty. And by the grace of God, today, God has continued to reward our lives and give us grace and strength every time. But the Bible says they came to Bethlehem. And when they came, all the city was excited because of them. That word excited is not like they say, hey, man, look at that, man. They're here, they're in town, man. Woo-hoo! It's not that kind of excitement. But she said to them, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. The Lord has brought me home today empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, returned from the country of Moab. And now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. The other thing I want you to see about Ruth here, by the way, it is Naomi who was returning. Ruth was a foreigner. She was coming. You see, even the Bible identifies her as a Moabitess. Some of you may not know this, and I'm not saying this to get any sympathy. One of the tough questions we get asked a lot: why did you leave Africa and come to live in America? Why did you leave your country? And you know, people don't realize sometimes that's not the kindest question to ask somebody, especially when you don't know exactly how things are gonna be. You know, like when we came from Kenya 12 years ago on a Tuesday before Thanksgiving, 4 kids. My wife and I, 6 of us, and I only had $600 in my pocket, like $100 for every person. And here I am walking that, okay, we're coming to America, the land of opportunities. And within no time, we started getting bills before we had gotten a check. I didn't know that's how it works. That you get checks even when you're broke. I mean, you get bills even when you're broke. It took me a while. And then one day we are there. We didn't have a place to stay. Actually, the first home we lived in was in a church, and there was a little parsonage upstairs, and we lived there. And the way it was, on Sunday morning, we had to be ready before anybody showed up. So it was like Sunday morning was the most chaotic morning, you know, waking up 4 kids. Come on, everybody, get some pressure. Be nice. Because we don't want to be chucked out of this house by this church. And then one day, just to add more drama, it was snowing, and I'm there trying to go get some milk because I love to take my cup of tea, and then I try to crank my car, and I wreck my axle. Welcome to America. Snowed in, wrecked the axle, no tea to drink, and you're broke, and your kids look at you and they wonder, did you really hear from God to come here to this country? But by the grace of God, I want to thank God for the loyalty of my family. Amen? We stuck together because there was love. And that's something I would like to encourage you. It is always important to know where there is true love, let there be loyalty. That's what keeps a couple going, when you're loyal to one another. Two more things, then we'll wrap up. Where there is love, favor will come. Where there is love, favor will come. In Ruth chapter 2, what we see, when these people loved each other, Ruth and Naomi loved each other, look at what happens. God orchestrates things in a very unique way. And I know, ladies, you have read through this book. It's a famous book for ladies. But Ruth meets Boaz. The scripture says in chapter 2, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. This Elimelech is the same name that we find in the beginning of the chapter there, where is the same name that was given to the husband of Naomi. So this man was from that family. And his name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean the heads of grain, after whose sight I may find favor. And so I'm going to jump through the scripture. Boaz came to the gleaning fields and people were working there. Then he said, the Lord bless you. And they also replied, the Lord bless you too. And then verse 5, the Bible says, then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Ruth was noticed. She was not like those, you know, there are some ladies who will, dress up with all the blinging stuff so that they can be noticed, you know, and even walk in a catwalk style. Ruth was not like that. She was just busy working. But because there was love, Boaz could not fail to notice her. He noticed Boaz. He noticed Ruth. And asked the reaper, the supervisor, like, whose lady? Who is she? Who is she? You know? And that's one thing, you know. There are not many young ladies in the church right now, but that's a nice way to try get a husband, by being busy doing your stuff, you know, and doing it well. Yeah, she was just busy doing her work, and she was doing the right thing. And there, Boaz noticed, because where there is love, favor will follow. I cannot count the many things God has done for me and my wife. Both of us came from homes that were dysfunctional, but by the grace of God, God has opened many doors for us in our lives. And I want to encourage you today, when you love each other, when there is love, God's favor follows where there is love. And so Ruth was noticed by Boaz. And I don't want to go into details of that. Some of the things that happened there may bring questions to you, but actually everything was appropriate and culturally acceptable and biblical, and there is no immorality in the book of Ruth. It's only that love was building up. There's a lot of love drama there, and it's just a beautiful story, because where there is love, favor will come. And as you read the story, as it goes on, Ruth actually is continuing to gain favor. In verse 10, so she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said, Why have I found favor in your eye that you should take notice of me, since I am a stranger? That is verse 10. Look at what Boaz tells her in verse 11. It has been fully reported to me. Boaz is a guy who did his homework. He had done his research, a little research. It has been reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people who you didn't know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come for refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and you have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. So this woman was not even giving herself a high opinion. She was just walking humbly. And here is Boaz. He said, we know how loving you have been, Ruth. We know how genuine you have been. We know how you have been supportive. So actually what won the heart of Boaz is how Ruth loved Naomi. That is the famous report. That was not even a rumor. It was some good news The fragrance of their love was spreading all over town. This woman did something unique. She has been supporting this older Naomi, and Boaz had heard about it. And as the story goes, it's an amazing story of love. Eventually, we see even how Ruth ends up being married by Boaz. And I always love that. I love the way that story is, because where there is love, favor will come. Now, I want to also wrap up with a very important part of this, that a human act of love has an eternal outcome. When you love from the human, like now the love that we show in our midst, those are acts that God in heaven does not fail to recognize. Because this is a mystery about it, by the way. In Ruth 4:13-18, the scripture says, so Boaz took Ruth and became his wife. I kind of had to go through this quickly, but I would encourage you, when you get time, you can go read the whole book. Actually, you can read that book in less than 2 hours. If you sit down, read slowly, it's just a short book, and it's very nice. I would give you encouragement, go try read it tonight. And I see, like, the way Rita is smiling, she'll probably read it. So, Boaz took Ruth and became his wife. She became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And I want us to jump over in verse number 18 and see that now the genealogy, okay, or maybe let's look at it. Verse 17. Also the neighbor women give him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they call his name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy, and it continues. And the verse 21 is telling us how Salmon got Boaz, Boaz got Obed, Obed got Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Now, if you put your finger there and go with me to Matthew chapter 1, so that we can connect this with Christmas, there is one very unique genealogy given. By the way, there are two genealogies in the Bible of Jesus. One genealogy is given by Matthew. Matthew is a gospel writer who focuses on the Jewish heritage of Jesus. Luke, he focuses on the universal aspect of Jesus as the Son of Man. And that's why Luke traces the birth of Jesus to Adam. But Matthew, he traces the birth of Jesus to Abraham. Because the purpose of Matthew is to affirm and show to us that yes, Jesus is the Savior of the world, but he had a Jewish heritage. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is a miracle of Christmas. Just so that you see how a human act of love can resort to this. There are four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Because you know the Jewish, they were very patriarchal. They only mentioned men. But somehow, if you read through the genealogy, there are four women mentioned. And listen carefully, church. Do you know what? None of those women was Jewish. None of them. You can correct me if you think I'm wrong. The first one was Tamar, who is not necessarily a very godly woman if you read her story. It's amazing how the grace of God works. The second woman is Rahab. And I think we all know how Rahab was. And the other woman is Ruth. And the other fourth woman is Bathsheba. Tamar was not a Jewish woman. We all know Rahab was from Jericho. We see Ruth was a Moabite woman. And then Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So none of them was Jewish. And it's an amazing thing how God in his wisdom puts the story of these two women, that now Ruth actually is a great, great, great grandmother of Jesus Christ. Genealogically speaking. Because she's listed there, if you read in Matthew chapter 1 verse 5, or maybe so that we can get it right if we begin from verse 2 of Matthew, how Abraham begot Isaac, and you know, verse 3, Judah got Perez by Tamar. That is the first woman mentioned in verse 3 of Matthew. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab Nahashon, and then in verse 5, Salmon begot Boaz, that is Boaz, by Rahab. And then Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king. And if you read there in verse, David begot Solomon by her who was the wife of Uriah. Eh? That is now the mention of Bathsheba. And I see this as an amazing thing, that a human act of love, just something that this woman never knew, when she left Moab and walked with this old woman to go back to Bethlehem, that she was going to be a history maker. She was going to be a renowned person. Today, the story of Ruth is known all over the world. The story of Ruth is known all over the world because of a simple act of love. And somehow, in my thinking, it's like God was focusing on that gesture of love and blessed this union and continued to bless the progeny and the progression of that. And somehow it came to be the line into which today we are celebrating Christmas. That through that line of Ruth, that is where, if you read later on, that is even the line that we see Jacob become, and Joseph, the one who was the husband of Mary, is connected to that lineage of Ruth. One act of human love has an eternal outcome. I want to say this to all of you. When you love one another, God can do amazing things. The Bible actually commands us to love each other. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible reminds us and says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. Some other version says, love each other deeply. Not that fake love, oh, hello, how are you? Have you ever been greeted by somebody like that? I deal with people a lot, by the way, so I'm not saying I'm a super cool person with people. But I know when a person is in love, loves you and cares about you, and when they don't, yeah. I mean, I don't want to give you nasty stories, but I've had a few nasty experiences in my life in America. But I also, you don't have to tell me we love you, Tim. I know it. We've been here with you guys for nearly 1 year. We could feel the love each other deeply. Amen? Even when I harass Christina, she still smiles at me. I feel good. Thank you. So I want to encourage every one of us, and I'm amazed that even my brother Leif mentioned this in your prayer. That was the last scripture, 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, verse 7, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this is love. In this, the love of God was manifested to us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might through him, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And I like what somebody said, that the gospel begins in John 3:16 and ends in 1 John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and then 1 John 3:16, just that way, we are also called to lay our lives for one another. And my encouragement to us as we go through Christmas, let's just remember that your act of love would have a lot of impact on other people. And in summary, as I always do, let's remember love, true love is a choice, as we said there earlier. And then true love expects nothing in return. Eh? And then true love is loyal. That is a true thing. And where there is love, favor will come. And lastly, as we have said, a human act of love has an eternal outcome. I appreciate your love together with my family. I encourage you, let the love continue. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. We are not told to try to, but it's like, come on, guys, we need to love one another. Amen. All right, we're going to sing. Now, this is another risky thing, because I'm going to sing a song today. That's like a disaster in my, yeah, but I love this song, O Holy Night. You want to come help me here? I had asked the team to come and help me here on this one, so that even if you don't hear my voice, you can hear the nice equipment from these people. I encourage you to love each other. And as I finish, before we sing this song, I want to say, one time in my life, I had said, I'm going to share this story before we begin.
There's a time I experienced serious rejection as a young adult. I was hospitalized for a diagnosis that, you know, it was a difficult diagnosis. And when I came back to school, I remember we were in a boarding school, and I still remember my friends, one time I went and found them somewhere and they all would scatter. And it happened two or three times. And I was a very discouraged person. But I remember when I went home, at that time of discouragement and failure and confusion, this woman in my village, an aunt of mine, welcomed me to her house. And she told me, "Tim, I know you've been through a lot, but I want you to know you're always welcome to come to this house. Anytime you're hungry, you can come to my kitchen and take whatever you want." I was, you know, a little good in math. I helped her daughters do math, though one of them failed her math. She blames it on me all the time. But I told her she didn't do the homework the way I told her. But anyway, long story short, one day this lady comes and tells me, "Tim, you know what? Our church has a conference. And this conference was like a couple of, like 3 hours from where we lived. And she said, I can't go. Would you please go on my behalf?" I was not even a Christian. And before I could even answer, she packed a little bag for me, a blanket, a plate, gave me some money to pay and all that. So I went because I didn't want to offend her. Long story short, when I went to this meeting, that's where I received Jesus. Amen? And not only did I receive Jesus, that young lady was in that meeting. Anne was in the meeting. She actually tells me she felt so sorry for that young man who was looking so desperate, like he really needed Jesus. And she never thought about it later, so we were talking later and said, "Well, maybe you're the one who prayed for me to come to that meeting." But I want to say this. A small act of love, because of that woman, close to 40 years ago, by the grace of God, my life changed because somebody loved me when I was not accepted. And I pray that we love